Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bottom Line by Chelsea Cameron. Narrated by Aiden Snow and Kendall Taylor. Section 1. Bottom Line Bonus Editions, Revisited. Chapter 1. Bottom Line. Crossover. Trapper. Tossing back a shot, I let the alcohol burn all the way down. The house mouse grinding on my lap and lapping at my neck only makes the room spin more as I let my buzz win out over my consciousness. After our turnaround here, I will keep my eyes, ears, and mind open to taking the backs of the men of Viper's Creed MC. I can respect the changes they're trying to make for their club and community. I can respect the way they're trying to keep their shit as their own and not let any outsider roll in and make a mess of what they have under control. "Wanna fuck, Buttercup?" I slur into her hair that is sticking out everywhere, making me practically choke on each word.
"Oh, yeah,"
she moans, reaching between us to unbutton my jeans. Blowing out more of her hair, I feel my phone vibrate in my pocket. I look at the screen, and my stomach churns. The whore grinds down on my crotch, making my jeans scrape hard against my dick. The pain is another reminder as I close my eyes and the memories invade.
"Mitchell."
The voice says my name in a needy rasp.
"I've got you trapped."
The whisper causes my ass to tighten in protection. I feel dirty. I need to vomit. I push the mouse off me, only for her to step back and pull her shirt off. In her version of sexy, she shimmies in front of me and my brothers. "You dirty whore," I slur honestly. She simply smirks in challenge.
"You gonna give me dirty?"
Standing, I wobble as the room spins before I straighten and crowd her space. When she's backed to the wall, wrapping her hands around my neck and scratching into my flesh, I lean down and lick her cheek. She laughs, and I simply push my body into hers. Trapped. She's trapped. I was trapped once. My mind goes wild. Turning her to face the wall, I kick the inside of her legs to spread them wide. Then I lift the short-ass skirt she is wearing, and I see a set of lips tattooed on her ass in the fabric of a green thong. The string slides up her ass cheeks tightly. I pull hard on either side, ripping it roughly from her body.
"You want dirty?"
I ask as I slide my fingers from the front of her pussy all the way up the slit of her ass, teasing her pussy and asshole as I pass them. She shakes her ass cheeks at me, wanting more. Wavering, I step back as Rowdy tosses me a condom, and I catch it against my chest.
"Safety first, brother."
He laughs loudly as he sits back with his beer without a single care that I'm going to fuck this broad in front of him. Undoing my jeans, I release my cock, then stroke it to firm before opening the rubber and covering myself. With two fingers, I dive into her pussy, causing her to cry out in surprise. Then, with a palm to each ass cheek, I spread her wide before I slide my cock into her pussy. She slaps the wall in front of her wildly as she presses her ass back, trying to force me in deeper. I use my hands to keep her still and slowly work my way in at my own pace. When she tries to push again, I swat her ass, immediately blushing the skin, and she stills. Then, her ass cheeks still spread wide, I dip my right thumb into her anus just as I slide my cock all the way to the hilt inside her. With a matching rhythm, I move them both in and out of her rapidly, sending the whore over the edge.
"Fucking trapped," I growl as I break out into a sweat. fucking dirty and trapped. I pound away as she goes limp in her aftershocks. I let out a war cry as I pump away, finally finding my release and drunkenly falling against her, pressing her into the wall. Catching my breath, I push away and pull out, ripping the condom from my limp dick. I then tuck my junk away, feeling the bile building in my stomach. Stomping off wordlessly, I toss the condom in the trash as I enter the bathroom and proceed to lose the contents of the day into the toilet. Fucking trapped. Fucking filthy. Some things never change, no matter where I go. One day I will have to go home. One day I will have to face hell. One day I will be accountable for all the bad, the good, and the don't matters. One day it's all going to come to a head. After all, the devil always gets his due. Chapter 2. Bottom Line, in the Red. Trapper.
Roll Tide,
the high voice greets me. You just wake up? I shouldn't ask, but I did. I shouldn't care, but I do. I shouldn't even consider it, but I'm too far gone now.
No. And would it matter if I did?
There is hope laced in each word. It needs to die. All I'm doing is making this worse in the long run. Hope leads to inevitable disappointment. The history between Avery and me is a tangled mess, one that landed me bloody on old Earl's doorstep more than once. I'm in town, heading back out. I cut to the chase. Just like ripping off a Band-Aid, I need to make this quick. I've made some new arrangements for you.
Why?
The question automatically comes out. If only I knew why I had made the deal in the first place, it would answer more than just this momentary question.
Gave my word. Keep my word.
You're released from your obligation, Mitchell.
The sound of my given name from that voice is heaven and my hell entwined. If you stay at this place, you'll be doing me and a friend a solid favor.
A favor, huh?
There is a sharpness to the tone and it hits me in my gut. Got a ride for a while. Collector. Well, he collected himself an old lady and she's got herself a house here. Real nice place, low key, and no neighbors on top of you like the apartment.
Go on,
Avery encourages, and for a moment I have hope.
She's got some fish. Feed the fish, keep them alive, and the place is yours.
When we make our way back to Bama, we'll discuss what happens next.
Don't treat me like a dirty little secret, Mitchell.
Avery, I growl. I don't have time for this shit right now. You staying at Sonny's or what?
I'll consider it.
Damn it. What's it going to take to make you okay again?
When the time comes and you make your way back, we'll make a decision for good.
No more waiting around, Mitchell. No more drunk calls after the skank pussy didn't satisfy you.
This is it.
My chest heaves in anxiety. I can't lose Avery. I can't hold on either. This is it. I concede into the phone before I disconnect the call. Fucking ultimatums. The green eyes looking back at me from the mirror contain unknown evil. Swinging, I connect my fist with the glass. The mirror shatters as the blood drips down the drain. I watch as the white sink basin fills with the red splatters of my blood dripping from my knuckles, the stark red contrasting against the white. Drip, drip, drip. Bringing my head up, I see a reflection staring back at me in pieces. The reflection should be of a man. Instead, it's a fractured soul. Fractured. Broken. damaged. I was in the red before I was ever born. A bastard boy born to a whore. I have had Satan in my blood since conception. My debt to the devil himself will never be cleared. Just like Ralphie, I know what is forbidden. As much as it pains Dover and Sonny to live without Raleigh, she's better off. The scars to our souls never heal. Why did we have to come here, of all places? The display on my phone lights up as it vibrates against the countertop. I don't answer. My mind hears his voice without allowing him the connection. Mitchell. The rasp of my name comes off sultry and needy. I don't answer, but my mind gives him the power as the past slams into my head. The phone stops as my cock hardens from memories. The vibration comes again, and the screen lights up. Looking down, I see the same name appear. Freeing my dick, I stroke it, rolling up and down firmly, twisting the head. What I don't do is answer the call. The blood from my busted knuckles runs down over my cock, working as lube. Mitchell, my mind replays his voice. I've got you trapped, he whispers, and my ass tightens. I close my eyes and I swear I can feel him. Tight. Breaking through. No barrier, nothing hidden. I stroke faster. My breaths come quicker and harder. My head falls against the mirror, the shards digging in. Pain. I stroke wildly, releasing my cum in a mess against the countertop and cabinet. Jizz and blood mix together on my hand as I work myself until I fall limp in my own hand. Bringing my fingers to my lips, I let myself taste forbidden once again. I blink my eyes open, looking at the many versions of me in the broken glass. Then I turn on the faucet to clean up. When I make it back, I'm going to lose it all this time. Another tally marked on the books. Another debt claimed. The time has come for another ride. After all, the devil always gets what he's due. Chapter 3. Bottom Line. Below the Line. Trapper. I shouldn't do this, but I don't stop myself from dialing the number. The voice that is a twist on my own personal heaven and hell answers on the third ring. Watching Hadley push to overcome her assault reminds me of my own. Then, when the cops said we couldn't leave town so both X and Hads were stuck in the town that took everything they had to give and more, it snapped something inside of me. I avoid home as much as possible. Leed, Alabama is not a bad town, but it haunts me. Everything bad that could happen to me happened there. And the only good thing I've ever known is there too. Only I'm not man enough to face Avery again. I shouldn't have called, is my immediate thought, but the answer on the other end keeps me from disconnecting. Mitchell, is everything all right? My cock immediately comes to life. Yes, Avery. Just wanted to see how you're doing. I aim to sound casual. There's a pause. Fine. How's the weather? I ask, knowing how fucking lame I am. Everything between Avery and I has been one big mess after another. Shitstorm, if you're asking. The tone is bitter, and I deserve it. My cock hardens painfully, feeding off the anger. Avery mad is a fire that can't be washed out. It's hot as hell. I'm trying here, Avery. The response is a laugh. You're trying to ease your guilt. All is forgiven, Mitchell.
Deciding a change in tactic is necessary, I switch subjects.
How are the fish?
The fish are still swimming. Dory reminds them to keep going all the time.
Drop the attitude, Avery. I'm fucking trying.
Too little, too late. No need to feel guilty. No need to call and check in. I'll keep the fish alive till your precious friends make their way home, but I'm done waiting on you, Mitchell. I'm done being a secret. I've moved on. You should too. We need to be free from our past together.
The resounding click is 10 times louder in my head than in reality. I smile, even though I'm anything but happy. I'll never be free. I'm forever trapped. I whisper to the air around me as I hear his voice play in my head once again.
I've got you trapped. This is how you like it, after all. Rough. Forbidden.
I stroke my length. My ass tightens painfully as I close my eyes and go back. I sold my soul a long time ago. I will never know freedom. I will never know acceptance. I will never know love. I had the chance with Avery and blew it all to hell. Who was I protecting back then? Me? Avery? Or the world? I don't know if I will ever find the answers I seek. In the end, none of it matters. I'm here until the devil calls my number and demands his due in my blood. After all, the devil always gets his due.
Chapter 4. Bottom line. Close the tab. Trapper. The line rings. For a moment, I think maybe, just maybe, this is it. Avery is done with me.
Fucker, is what I get when I pick up.
Well, not exactly a welcome hello, but there is an answer. There is still life on the other end of the phone. This is a positive.
Well, hello to you too, Avery.
Fucker. 1 year. It's been 1 year, Trapper.
The impatience is noted.
I should have known when you easily conceded to my ultimatum, it wouldn't really be easy.
Nothing with you ever is.
Oh, and you are? Forget your choice, Avery. It's time we move on. You're what got me in this shit in the first motherfucking place. I'm trying to hold on to something I don't even know if it's real.
I look to the screen of my phone and see the seconds tick by.
Do I even know this call is real? Riddle me that, Avery.
Jackass, you know this is real.
There's a sigh.
I just don't understand you. When anyone else is around, you speak freely. Mitchell becomes Trapper and everyone takes Trapper just how he is.
Well, what will Mitchell do if he's not so easy to handle as Trapper?
Shut the fuck up.
Cutting a little too deep?
Well, welcome to my hell, Mitchell Gates.
I slide the phone off.
Fuck Avery Collins. Fuck the day we ever met.
I pick up the bottle of booze and toss it back, taking a long pull. The burn goes from the back of my tongue and settles into my gut.
Fuck it all. Fuck the devil himself. He needs to call his marker, make his claim. I'm ready to give the devil his due. After all, the devil always gets his due. I just wish he would call for mine.
Chapter 5. Bottom line. Day of Reckoning. Trapper. The air is stifling hot tonight, meaning the air conditioner in the motel is clearly not working. I lay in bed with the cheap-ass sheets chafing against my naked skin. Forcing my eyes closed, my mind drifts off to sleep. All too soon, I find myself in hell once again.
Avery, no matter how you spin it, this shit makes no sense, I mutter,
tossing my textbook to the floor and resting back on the bed. You don't pass this test, you can kiss the whole semester away. Mr. Hill already told you, Mitchell, you need a 76 or higher, or you fail. Stop telling me shit I already know, Avery. I jump from the bed as the frustration rolls off me. Take a time out, then we'll give it another shot. Making my way down the hall into the garage, I pull out my pack of smokes. I press the keypad to make the garage door open, knowing the light in here is out, and then step down the stairs to the concrete floor. The door rises about a foot off the ground when I hear the side door open, the keypad being pressed, halting the door in its place. Before I can turn all the way around, I'm forced harshly against the wall. The cement blocks grind into my cheek as I feel a large person pressed to my back. My feet are kicked apart while he holds my head to the side, smashing it into the unforgiving wall. The air is thick. I start to call out when the butt of his palm pushes into my jaw, making any movement difficult. Mitchell, Avery's stepdad whispers. Gotta stay quiet, Mitchell. We don't want Avery to hear. Bile rises in my throat. Avery's told me to stay away from him. I know Avery is afraid of Butch. The man is dangerous. He is a bastard with balls. Brass ones. You like pretty Avery, don't you, Mitchell? He groans, pressing his hard cock against my back. You and Avery have secrets. He rocks against me. I won't tell. I'll give you rough. Forbidden. I'll give you more than Avery can. I groan as the rough edges of the cement cut into my face. Shh. Can't let anyone hear us. I am so fucked. Avery hates cigarettes, so there won't be anyone coming to save me. Butch yanks my basketball shorts down as I try to kick and push my body off the wall. I haven't filled out yet. At 15, I'm only 5'7" and 108 pounds. I'm scrawny. My mom can't afford to feed a growing boy, she says when she's actually sober enough to speak in sentences. When I feel fingers dip between my ass cheeks, I jerk, trying to fight free. He slams my head into the concrete, causing my mouth to fill with blood as the room spins. I inhale and smell the alcohol on his breath. His hand goes farther down to tickle the backside of my balls. My cock shrivels in fear. I've got you trapped, he pants out as he rubs his cock up and down my ass, the rough texture of the denim of his jeans burning against the tender skin of my hindside. I'm gonna give you rough, forbidden. I'm gonna give you what Avery can't. No, I cry out. No! You want to protect Avery, don't you? Your dear, precious Avery. What a puckered hole Avery has. I've tasted it. Have you? The vomit rises as he holds me with one hand and toys with his pants. I gag and gargle on my puke as he continues at his task. Thrashing, I wake up in a cold sweat. How many times did Butch violate Avery? I refuse to think of how many times I couldn't save my friend. The sheet is tight around me like the bad memories. It's strangling, suffocating. All too soon we will be back together, Avery and I. What can the future hold when the past is so dark? The devil will call. I can only hope it's sooner rather than later. After all, the devil always gets his due. Chapter 6. Bottom Line. Paid in Full. Trapper. We're sorry. The number you have reached is no longer in service. What the fuck, Avery? I yell to no one. The hotel room is empty. Tomorrow, one fucking day away, and Avery would have me home. Rowdy and Michelle left 2 days ago to get the shop ready to reopen. While they look for a house in Leed, Alabama, fucking Sunny gave them free rein to use her house. The house I have had Avery staying in for months. Damn it. Avery. What do I do with Avery? There isn't a single bad thing I can say. Loyalty. Hell, no one has it more than Avery. Since we were punk-ass teens, Avery's had my back. Trust. There is not a single person who I trust more than Avery. When someone knows your every secret, both the good and the bad, yet never tells a soul, that's trust. Forgiveness. All the shit I have done over the years, Avery knows every fuck, every betrayal, and has forgiven me for them all. And I have fucked a lot. Fearless. To see Avery, a stranger wouldn't think much. Knowing Avery, knowing the night I should have died and Avery saved me, Avery faced our tormentor to save my life. I took too long. How many times has Avery told me to come home? How many times has Avery made it clear Avery is not my dirty little secret? How many times have I brushed it off? This is my punishment. My time is up. The devil is calling, and I'm the one with the debt. It's time I paid my due. Section 2. The Past. The past sets into motion our future. The following section will take you back in time before Trapper existed, and Mitchell Gates was just a boy trying to survive in a cruel world. Chapter 7. Mitchell. I wake up stiff, like every other day. Sleeping on the floor doesn't give a person's body much of a choice. Rising, I groan as I stretch my body. Grabbing some sweatpants from my duffel bag on the floor, I lift them and sniff. Still smells clean. They will have to do. To my left is the pile of clothes I need to get to the wash and dry laundromat down on Main Street to wash. It's always something, or so it seems. First, I need to scrape up the change to pay for a load. Typically, someone leaves soap behind, so I can use that without it costing me more money. The other benefit of the public washers is leftover clothing, like the sweatpants I'll be wearing today. I found them on my last trip. Typically, I can snag one new piece of clothing each time I make it there. It's the only way I get anything new to wear. Sometimes the items don't fit right, but I learned to make it work. Sliding them on, I yank a t-shirt off the floor, give it a quick sniff, and then pull it on. In the kitchen, I take a glance at the stove to check the time. Blank. Going to the fridge, I open the door, but not for food. There is no food in there that I'm allowed to touch. It's all hers. No, I open it because I need to see if the light works. Dark. No power. The electricity is shut off. Again. By the light outside, I overslept for the second time this week. Better late than never, I think to myself as I grab my sneakers. I'm going to catch shit at the school office, but it's not like there's anyone here to care about the call they will try to make home. The phone was disconnected the first month after she got it turned on. Besides, if they get through to anyone, it won't matter. I slide my feet into the shoes. I found them in a dumpster, so they're a little big. At least they don't have holes. And the shoelaces from my old shoes are still intact to fit these, since they were the only things missing. This is my life. Making do with what I can find. The knock at the front door startles me, but...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?